Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Cavaliers, as they're getting ready to play a home game tomorrow night. You'll hear it right here on WHBC. And joining us, if you're going to watch that game on Bally Sports Cleveland, is the TV voice of the Cavaliers, our good buddy John Michael. Jay, Mike, how are you today?
Terrific. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, my friend. Thanks for joining us. And looking at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference, Jay, Mike, 27-19, your Cleveland Cavaliers in sixth place in the East. But how about this? Only 2.5 games out of first place. I don't think any of us in our wildest dreams, 46 games into the season, figured they would be this high, Jay Mike. How much fun are you having with AC and Brad Daugherty calling this team's games this year with the way they're playing?
Man, those standings look beautiful, don't they? Mm-hmm. Man, it's good to look and see the Cavs in that top six. It's been a ball, Kenny. I mean, the most rewarding thing to me has been the way that these fans have embraced this team. And just, I think, the smiles that this team has put on a lot of faces and the way they've done it, Kenny. I mean, it's not just one player leading this team. It's been a true collective effort. We've seen players really stepping up their games, turning into leaders before our eyes, you know, and Darius Garland and Jared Allen, and the Cavs have, if the season ended right now, hands down the rookie of the year in Evan Mobley. So there have been a lot of pleasant surprises. It's turned into a lot of wins. They're winning through not only team play and a collective effort, but defense, which is a lot different than what we've seen and become accustomed to over the last couple of seasons. So it spells good things. Remember this too, guys, the Cavs have the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA if you look at the records of the teams remaining right now. So good things ahead for this club, off to a wonderful start in the first half of the season.
Jay, Mike, I want to make a statement, see if you're going to check me on this, because a lot of times we look at the schedule and we look at the record and we say, okay, we want to pump the brakes, and we understand there are games where we're playing teams without their number one or their top players. No Draymond Green at the Warriors, no Kevin Durant with Brooklyn. But I look at this and I say, wait a minute, you mentioned the fans. You're not going to fool a Cleveland Cavalier fan. And when they're packing that stadium, the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and they're rocking that place, this thing's for real, isn't it?
The energy's been incredible. And let's not forget, too, JT, yes, a number of the Cavs' wins have been against teams without some of the top players, but the Cavs went through this, you know, and the Cavs went through a four-game losing streak where their entire, you know, the Cavs were going with a jumbo lineup where the entire jumbo part of the lineup was gone. So, you know, let's remember, too, the Cavs, just like these other teams, went through health and safety, and basically everybody on the team has been in and out of protocol. This is, it's for real. It's a part of the game right now this season. I think what you like about the Cavs is that the approach has been the same every night. I mean, no matter who's in front of them, no matter whether they've been favored or whether they're underdogs home or road, I mean, the road record's better than their home record right now. So I think it speaks to what this team's been doing, the efforts there. You know, even on nights, you look at the Chicago game, when I think the schedule finally caught up to the Cavs mm-hmm. on Wednesday night, there were just a lot of heavy legs. The Cavs didn't have right. it. But in the fourth quarter, there they were, right? They were scratching and clawing to get back in that game and to keep it relatively close. So we've seen that effort all season long. And again, I think that's part of what's been so appealing to this fan base about this Cavs team this year.
John Michael, our guest, TV voice of the Cavaliers. Follow him on Twitter, at @CavsJMike. Watch him on Bally Sports Cleveland. Jay Mike, this team, what impresses me the most, and we're having Terry Pluto on a little bit later on. He wrote a Browns book, Vintage Browns, but Terry's a big basketball guy, and he and I talked off the air the other day about this, and we agreed on this. This team reminds me both on the court and off the court of the late 80s, early 90s teams, because of how they share the ball, how they play for one another, and then how they get along off the court as well. And I think that is very important to building that culture that Kobe Altman has talked about, J.B. Bickerstaff has talked about, where they care for each other on and off the court. Agree or disagree with that?
Well, not only do I agree with that, but Brad Daugherty agrees with that. You mentioned he's been on a handful of our broadcasts, and that you know, is not a comparison that's been lost on him either. He agreed. And to him, it's a collective effort again, right? I mean, there was Mark and there was Brad, and of course there was Larry on that team. And it wasn't just one guy, which made them so much more difficult to game plan against. And they were unselfish. You know, that's what JB has said since taking over. He wants this team to be the most competitive and the most unselfish on the floor. I think, Kenny, we've seen that each and every night. Nobody's playing for himself. They're all playing for this team this year. And, you, Terry, and Brad Doherty all seem to agree.
Great minds think alike, apparently. The one thing that team didn't have that this team has is a Kevin Love. How do you explain, how does J.B. Bickerstaff get a veteran like Kevin Love to buy into this system?
Well, I mean, again, I think the idea after, you know, coming off of last season in which Kevin, you know, didn't play a lot of the games was how do we get the most out of Kevin? How do we make him the best basketball player at this stage of his career? I mean, Kevin's no dummy, right? I mean, he's smart enough to know that, hey, we're going to reduce the minutes, and this is something that I'm, you know, that I want to be a part of, and it's all worked, you know. And I think Kevin benefited greatly early in the season from being alongside Ricky Rubio. I mean, those two experienced the fountain of youth in a way, you know, the way Rubio was able to find Kevin, get him open, get him all the looks he's needed. Ricky Rubio, unfortunately, has been lost for the season, but, you know, Kevin continues to bring the scoring off that Cavs bench. And, yeah, I think it's a matter of, you know, when we're talking unselfishness, it's been part of the theme throughout, you know, what we've been discussing. Yeah, Kevin, you know, it took a buy-in from Kevin. It took a buy-in from Rubio, right? Rubio has mostly been a starter throughout his career. He said, yes, I think this is best for me and the team to come off the bench. And he excelled, and that's precisely what we've seen out of Love as well.
Kevin Love, when they told us he was going to be a big part of this team, and that's why they wanted to keep him, and they believed in him, I thought they were losing their minds, okay? Kobe Altman saw something in him. J.B. Bickerstaff saw something in him that said he can help us, and so when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I admit that. K. Love is playing outstanding basketball. Is he playing well enough, J. Mike, where come February 10th, if teams are calling for him that have a shot at maybe winning a championship and want a veteran coming off the bench, is he playing well enough and helping this team so much where they just hang up on teams because they don't want to get rid of him?
Good question, right, Kenny? I mean, that's a better question for Kobe Altman, but will teams come calling? You better believe it. You know, again, now Kevin comes with a price tag, right? That's not the easiest contract to trade for. But yeah, I mean, if the way he's playing basketball, I'm sure that, I mean, that happens basically with all good players right around trade deadline time. So, you know, that's part of what needs to be considered, not just with Kevin, with all potential trades out there, right? I mean, they've found something that's real, right? I mean, for the last couple of seasons, they've been trying to build this thing and find components and a core that they could build around, bring a few players in, and have something special happen. And, you know, we're seeing it happen in the first half of the season. That's where we are right now. So I'm sure Kobe's going to be cautious about potentially breaking something up that's really looking like it could be something moving forward. Could you use another score off the Cavs bench? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you look at this lineup and you can find some spots where the Cavs could use some reinforcements, but the question is at the price of what? Right. You know, you don't want to break up something that's been really, really good. So these are all things that obviously are going to come into play come trade deadline time. And the Cavs, you know, now have a lot of attractive pieces for other teams as we head, you know, down the stretch and on into February and into, you know, the time when we get ready for the playoffs. So I think it's going to be fun to watch it. Like last season at the deadline around the NBA, it was really intriguing because more teams feel that they're alive with the new rules. 10 teams, you know, able to head into the playoffs and the play-in tournament, which led to a lot more trades than I think anybody anticipated last season. I feel like we're going to see a lot of this again this year, and it's going to be fun to watch it all unfold.
John Michael, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way Hotline here on the Kenny and JT Show. You mentioned Brad Doherty earlier. And, Brian, you've got these two clips queued up for us. And listen to these, J. Mike, and then I'll ask you the question I want to ask you. Roll Brad Doherty first for J. Mike, Brian.
You better buckle up, Buttercup.
All right, so there's that one. And then just recently, roll the AC cut.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
You guys are doing the game in studio because you're not traveling, right? And AC drops Gomer Pyle. And then basically Brad Doherty coming out of Andy Griffith and Mayberry RFD with a buckle up buttercup. How much fun is it doing games with two overall number one picks with the Cavaliers, two guys that are synonymous with the Cavaliers, and two guys you never know what the heck they're going to say in the middle of the game?
I mean, you said it all, Kenny. I mean, it's been a ball all season long, and they're both fantastic at what they do. I end up riding my cough button, so I'm not laughing. So I don't laugh over the top of them half the time once they get going. But it's been special, you know, and to watch them, they're still invested. That's part of, I think, what a lot of people overlook about this Cavs organization. There are so many of our legends that are not only still around here, but are still so invested with this team and with this organization. And we're lucky. We're lucky to have the Austin Carrs and the Campy Russells and, you know, Brad over the last couple of seasons coming back just to be able to, you know, not only use their knowledge, but to be able to compare teams like you just did earlier, Kenny, to the 90s team and then the Miracle of Richfield team with Austin. It's a rich heritage, and it's fun when it all comes together on the broadcast. No question about that.
Jay, Mike, when you look at this team with 12 games between now and the All-Star break, how does JB Bickerstaff handle this team? Should we expect to see more of the Dylan Windlers and maybe some of these guys off the bench a little bit more often?
I don't know. The Cavs finally right now are getting a, you know, 2-day break, which the Cavs haven't had in a long, long time. I alluded to the fact that, you know, the schedule finally caught up to the Cavs on Wednesday. The Cavs had just come off of a 6-game, 9-day Western Coast swing, in which, by the way, they went 5-1, come home for a Monday matinee on MLK Day, take care of Brooklyn, and then had to go right back on the road to play Chicago. So, you know, hopefully the hardest part of the schedule is on paper behind us, JT. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to do anything all that different. You know, I think if he needs, that's, you know, one good thing about this team is that you have some interchangeable parts with the Windlers and the Wades and the Stevens and the players who are able to come off the Cavs bench and give this team spot minutes when necessary. Is that something on JB's radar? It is. You know, you don't want to overwork anybody at any juncture of the season. It's something he'll keep an eye on, but do I anticipate any major changes, JT, in the rotation going into the All-Star break? I really don't.
Well, the Goodwins of the world, the Windlers of the world, the Lamar Stevens of the world, you look at these guys, and is there any way they can really play their way back really onto the roster post the All-Star break, post the trade deadline? I mean, because every time we hear something, you know, there's a rumor here, and Caris LeVert there, and a guy from wherever, we need another score. These dudes start to score. Do they play their way onto the everyday roster?
Well, I think, when you're talking about Stevens has cemented his spot in the rotation, and he did so primarily with Isaac Okoro out of the lineup. Stevens has been nicked up the last few games. JB said he practiced today, so he should be back in the lineup. I think those guys are all, everybody you named, Goodwin, how about his story?
Unreal.
I mean, he was one of the players brought in as an emergency 10-day signee, played so well that he took one of the Cavs' two-way spots. They gave Taco Fall's spot to Brandon Goodwin to solidify the backup point guard position. So he's a great story, one of many in the NBA with, you know, what we've been dealing with protocol of players coming in as emergency players and sticking around. So, I mean, I think both Stevens and Goodwin are going to be part of this thing moving forward. The Cavs are hoping to get Rajon Rondo back into the mix as well, and pieces like Dylan Windler and Dean Wade, they're going to be there. I mean, they're going to be, you know, players that the Cavs need. We've seen guys go in and out of the lineup. They've filled in. They filled in nicely. So I think everybody you named is going to be a part of this team moving forward.
Happy to have the TV voice of the Cavaliers with us here on WHBC. John Michael breaking it down for us. Cavaliers in action tomorrow night. 8 p.m. tip-off tomorrow night, J. Mike, at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
I don't even know, Kenny. I have to check. It's not a game day, so I don't know yet. That's the hardest question you asked me here today.
It is. JT gives me a thought. Yeah. Hey, I understand, man. You're getting away from it for 2 days after. Hey, not only are the players on that schedule, the announcers are on that schedule, too.
Last time we talked to Jay Mike, and he had a day off, his wife made him get up on a ladder and clean out the gut. Please, it's too cold out, Jay Mike. None of this honeydew stuff while you've got a couple of days off.
Hey, the well, believe me, the driveway is already swept. So is the porch. The back's taken. So too late. Thank you for thanks for the warning and the help, but you're a little too late, JT.
All right, let's wind this up before we let you go. Looking ahead to February 20th at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, the All-Star Game in Cleveland. The third round of votes came out yesterday. Jared Allen, sixth in the Eastern Conference as far as front court guys. Darius Garland, ninth as far as backcourt guys. So voting-wise, it doesn't look like they're going to be starters. But should one of those two be picked by the coaches or the league to participate in that All-Star game in Cleveland?
I'm trying to say this as objectively as possible. Kenny, I think both really should. And if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said Allen has the edge of getting in, if you're going to pick one or the other. But the way Garland's played over the last 2 or 3 weeks, now I think it would be a travesty if either one doesn't make it. And I think it's worth explaining the voting to your listeners. The voting is just for the starters, right? And the voting is fan vote and player vote and media vote. All right, that all gets combined in to select the five starters and is broken down into guards and front court. So like you indicated, by the return fan vote, chances are they're not going to get voted in as a starter. How do you get voted in as a backup? That's a coach's pick. So to me, that's where I think they may have an edge because, you know, you talk to coaches around this league, not only have the Cavs opened some eyes, but the individuals who are making it work for the Cavs have opened some eyes. And, I mean, Jared Allen has been a bedrock of consistency. Garland now is getting the national recognition, just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I think they both go. And I think the fact that it's in Cleveland might even work in the Cavs' favor, you know, in terms of wanting to put some, you know, coaches recognizing what the Cavs have done this season and maybe being more willing to put an extra Cav onto the roster. So, again, I'm trying to be as objective as possible.
Right.
They are both playing at all-star levels. I think they both go to the all-star festivities next month.
Yeah, I'm looking at it and I just think Darius Garland right now is playing as well as any point guard in the league, and he battled through a bad back there for a few games and had his first career triple-double, double-doubles. So I'm hoping at least DG gets there, if not both, and we'll see how that plays out in the not-too-distant future, and we'll talk more about it in the future with our good buddy, the TV play-by-play voice of the Cavaliers, John Michael. J. Mike, thanks for the time on your day off. Have a great call tomorrow, and we'll talk again soon.
Always fun, guys. Have a great weekend. Take care.
John Michael checking in via the Wake 'Em Way hotline here on the Kenny and JT Show. When we come back, we're going to talk Browns football. Vintage Browns, 70s, 80s, 90s Browns with Terry Pluto, who wrote a book by that title, Vintage Browns. That's next.